This week on your Old School RuneScape update, Magic soars ahead with the most recent project rebalance changes. We dive deep into elemental weakness and what it means for our favorite mobs. Is it too complicated? Is it too much power creep? We find out. This is the Old School RuneScape Update, Episode 23, recorded Saturday, April 13th, 2024. Blasting Balance. Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Old School RuneScape Update. Sirion and myself are here, as we are each and every week. Good to be back with you this week.
Every week, indeed. We make it happen no matter what.
Yeah, you'll go into that maybe a little bit later in terms of why you're saying that, or maybe some of the things that have happened, of course. But, of course, welcome back to all the listeners, including those who greeted us last week with the tremendous response and wonderful response to last week's episode. Big, huge thanks for that. And we're going to try and deliver something as equally spicy or maybe is equally stimulating this week with the project rebalance changes. That seems to be a saga focusing on defense that's continuing, isn't it?
Yeah, we, I mean, I say we, I shouldn't take too much credit. You ran most of the numbers here, and oh boy, it's interesting what's come out of it.
Yeah, and that's precisely what we're going to go into, in addition to a little bit of a discussion on the undead pirates in the wilderness, and maybe my new favorite agility course as well, and of course what we've been up to in Old School RuneScape. But if you want to follow along, you can find the full show notes over at update.show/OS. We're on YouTube at youtube.com/@OSRSupdate. And we also have a friends chat in game, which is BitSbytes, and the community Discord too, update.show/Discord.
Yeah, always fun and interesting discussions to be had there.
Yeah, it was a pretty interesting response to look at, in particular from Jagex's end. I don't think they were expecting this, and folks might not be aware, but one thing that we've always done a lot of in the past, specifically on the RS3 show, is analyzing where the community management folks and dev folks are maybe at based on the live streams that they put out. And it was certainly a very interesting experience from my end watching the live stream between Mod Kieran and Mod Aiza, I believe that's how you say the community manager's name, on this one, just in terms of some of the body language back and forth that was going between them in relation to the responses that they were putting forward with Project Rebalance. And what that told me is that they weren't expecting some of the reaction that the community delivered for the first batch of the defense changes, hence why we're here now. Were you shocked about any of that? Or?
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting. Like, if you listen back to our show, I think it was last week that we talked about this, you know, I think we gave it not that much attention. We were mostly like, you know, yeah, the idea looks good. The underlying motivation looks good. Let's go, right? Like,
widening the reward space, making it a little bit easier to understand.
Send it was basically my response.
Well, to be fair, you did mention the magic complexity side, which I think is leading to the discussion we had, or they had this week.
Yeah, I think that continues being a point of concern to me, but, you know, I find it a little bit weird how much they're sort of backtracking here. Like, one of the things is they're adding air weakness, which, you know, I thought that point last week was, you know, it made a lot of sense of why that would be sort of your general...
Yeah, generic, what you use when there's no weakness, or you're feeling like you don't really need to capitalize that much on the weaknesses.
Yeah, exactly, right? Like, to me, it's interesting. I mean, I understand that point as well, that, you know, how expensive are fire runes really? Sure, I get that. I don't know. I liked it thematically. And now, like, they're talking about like ghosts and like other undead. I'm like,
The
isn't that what
aviancies in
Slayer?
particular.
Yeah, like, and isn't that what Crumble Undead and, to a lesser extent, Slayer Dart are for? Like, I feel that space is covered, and now we're adding something completely. We're adding air weakness. It didn't feel like it needed it.
Right. And I see this as there being two potential reasons for this. The first one in that this is a way to say, okay, community, we're hearing what you're saying on this. We're gonna do this to fit more in the lines of your own in your own viewpoint of how this should be. The second way reason I see them potentially doing this is that when you look out at the community response to this, it's very clear, I think, that they were not expecting this. So I see that as potentially just let's move quickly on this and try and get to a point where we're able to continue pushing this forward and bring the community along with us, because that is what old school is about. You get to the very core of the matter, and everything that is successful in old school, everything that is well and good with old school, has community buy-in. And if you're going to do something as big as NPC defense changes or defense in general with Project Rebalance, you need to have that community buy-in, or else you're going to be back to a kind of a situation where those three-letter words that start with E and also deal with combat happened in 2012.
Yeah,
I don't think we're at that point, but that's why you have to have the community buy-in, if that makes sense.
this is why I was generally really positive last week on this system. We had throughout the week we had a bit of a back and forth between the two of us in text, but like I, there is something to be said for like why do we need all of this complexity? And I think it's easy to have a reflex into that, especially if you look at EOC. Because EOC introduced a lot of complexity, and then in the end it never really paid off, I feel.
Right.
Like I feel
Its
that
payoff
if
is the set effects that are coming in now and the myriad of special attacks you can use through your Essence of Finality, which is one of the biggest steps of power creep in RS3, and you question if old school wants to go that way.
well Yeah, but like the interesting thing is that only came back in later because they needed to add in more, uniqueness to gear and more variety to gear because everything was so bloody linear, right? And the positivity I had about this particular update is that,
You're
they
creating more
got the goals
horizontal
right.
reward space with this.
Exactly. They got the goal right to begin with, which is not to fix whatever is there and to try and bring the combat system into a system that is worthy of 2024. And like, no, we're really just trying to make horizontal reward space, and I applaud that. And I still think, despite some of my misgivings about the other stuff in here, that is a worthwhile goal, and I would not want any of these changes. I would not want the criticism on these changes to lead to this being abandoned entirely.
Correct. Yes, totally. And my take over the entire week is that when this whole thing started out, is that I felt there was a little bit too much complexity behind the entire thing when it came to the weaknesses. And after playing with it on the beta and really looking into it, my only real criticism on that complexity is there has to be a better way to see your critter's weakness aside from casting monster examine or looking on the wiki. That's my biggest criticism of this right now.
I mean, that's not exclusively a problem to elemental
No, it's
weaknesses.
not,
It's
but
also a problem to like how the heck, without using Monster Examine or looking at the wiki, am I supposed to know I should bring all three melee styles to the Moons of Peril? Like, there's no indication of that anywhere, which is mind-boggling to me.
Right. And if you were to look at the HP bars of various NPCs and monsters in game, and just add, you know, an icon for the weakness or some text for the weakness. Even I think that solves that issue.
Or just give us a Moonlight plugin. I don't care if it's official.
Yeah,
or not.
Well, I mean, you got to make it work on mobile, and you got to make it work for everybody in that regard. They also this week added the, aside from adding the air weakness, corrected some consistency issues between dragons, improved severity of weaknesses where players would lose damage versus what they'd already been doing. They improved the severity of weaknesses in cases where some NPCs should be weaker to a certain element. So that's exactly what you're thinking. Specific NPCs that, well, then, you know what? I should be weak to water. They made him weak to water there. But
I mean, were there any NPCs that were suddenly harder to kill? Because that's not been our observation, right?
No,
like,
it hasn't.
Unless I am completely wrong.
No.
And
this is where we get to the most interesting part of that, is that any NPC, the vast majority of them that are on this list of having defense changes at all, that also have a magic elemental weakness, you're going to want to use magic to them most of the time. That's my sense.
Yeah, like, we did the maths. Maybe you can speak a little bit more, because I know you actually did some experimentation here, right?
But, yeah.
So they updated the DPS calculator, which is, I figure, a pretty good indicator of you know, DPS.
Yeah.
It's maybe going to be 10 or 20% off, but it's not going to be, like wildly off.
It's directionally accurate from what I can tell in terms of my experimentation. Yeah.
So one of the things I looked at is, like, I plugged in my stats, I plugged in my current magic gear, I plugged in Iron Dragons, that's the thing I was killing, with Earth Blast, which is like 52 magic, so I'm easy over the max hit for that. Max hit cap for that. In case of the current stats in game, it would cost me on average, and this is not even funny anymore, 2 minutes to kill one. I'm not looking forward to the fact whenever I get an Iron Dragon task, I guess.
No.
But, like, 2 minutes to kill one. With these defense changes, it gets halved. And it takes me less than a minute. And to me, you know, sure, we could argue maybe our Iron Dragons are too grindy, right? But the fact that a 50% weakness apparently gives me double the kill time. I mean, we need to account for the fact that the max hit of Earth Blast will have gone up because it now scales up to Fire Blast in that tier.
Yeah.
So that will account for some of the damage increase. But the fact that it basically... I should probably have compared it to Fire Blast. That would have been a fairer comparison. But it's the fact that a weakness, and if you understand how the elemental weakness works, it's kind of what you expect. Like, a 50% weakness basically means double the DPS.
Yeah.
Not quite, but it's a pretty good rule of thumb. There are monsters with, like, 100% weakness.
Mm-hmm.
That's like, what, like, four times the DPS all of a sudden?
And like, there is a good spreadsheet of all this that they linked in their blog post, I will say. If you have any interest in this, do have a look at that.
Do we really need fire giants to be killable four times as fast? Like, sure, we have a problem with NPC defense, but...
It's not a problem.
I feel we're bringing a sledgehammer to... A problem that needs.
I actually have a different take on that, and for that, I kind of want to go into a bit of a background discussion of how this works and how accuracy works. So, for every point of elemental weakness that the NPC has in the beta, if this beta goes to live, they say your spells will gain. That your spells of that element will gain an additional 1% accuracy and 1%. Damage. So, as you said, casting Fire Surge on a NPC that says weakness fire 50% will give a 50% accuracy and damage buff. Now, when that comes to factoring in your magic damage, elemental weakness is basically going to be the base damage of the spell multiplied by the magic damage percentage that comes off your staff and the elemental weakness. So it's a multiplicative property that is being used to, in effect, what looks like what you said, cut through the defense of the NPCs. But what I see this is tackling instead is it's tackling the player accuracy issues, because player accuracy has always been the limiting factor in terms of how much damage you can do if something is accuracy immune or has an accuracy effect on it. So that's something that has always tripped lots of people up when it comes to combat. And that's why, you know, when we went to leagues, we're like, oh my God, this ranged relic effectively is going to double the ranged bonus on my rune crossbow, taking it up to something that's truly obscene. And that's why we were able to get through so much content with just a rune crossbow. It wasn't because of NPC defense values. It's because our accuracy was jacked up so high. So I see what they're doing as a way of working around player accuracy by pushing on the NPC defense lever.
I don't know if accuracy is really that big of a problem. It feels like a lot of like, okay, you miss every now and then, but that, like, have you played any tabletop role-playing game, right? You first roll to hit and then you roll your damage. It's totally expected to me that you sometimes miss.
Right, and that's a different perspective for me.
We will see next week changes to min hit so that the times you hit actually feel a little bit better, right? But even then, right, even taking your entire point for granted that this should fix accuracy, right? If you look at stab and crush and slash, and on the range side, the heavy, light, and medium that are what they're doing right now, right? That only affects the accuracy roll. It doesn't affect damage.
Bingo. Bingo.
Using a stab weapon against a creature that is vulnerable stab will only make it more likely that you hit. It will not make you hit more.
Yeah.
The elemental weakness does this and does more damage.
Right.
That feels double.
And see, that's the thing I think that a lot of people are, you know, seeing or, you know, maybe glossing over on this, is that this is going to put magic in a very favorable position. Now, I personally don't have a problem with that. When I came to old school, I said I want to, you know, use magic as my primary combat style if I can. So that's my horse in the race, is that I'm very happy about this. But
But isn't the problem, right? We're trying to create more horizontal content.
And they're funneling
and
everyone to magic.
What we're doing is for like this entire spreadsheet of things, we're essentially creating a single way of doing it. And oh, by the way, that single way of doing things is using one of four spells that you will just have in your bank.
Yeah, and I want to go to my calculations on the DPS calculator because I haven't bought my RM set yet. The money wasn't available for that. So looking at the combat beta, if I look at the Iron Dragons again, same thing you were looking at with Mystic, 66.8 seconds average time to kill using Earthbolt. If we go to a Dragon Dagger, once again, not the Abyssal Dagger because I don't have the money for that, 171 seconds. Now, if we flip back to live, that's 144 seconds for that same magic setup, more than double, and 232 seconds for that stab setup. So the stab setup on both sides got better, but the magic setup jumped light years ahead here. And like I said, I personally don't have a problem with that. I like this, but I do think it might be a bit of an issue funneling people towards magic. And by the way, it's Earth Blast, not Earth Bolt. I misspoke there.
Yeah, I don't mind the idea of elemental weakness. Like, really, I don't. But the numbers feel so completely off skill on this.
Yeah.
Like, shouldn't the numbers be more like 20%?
Right. And like, that's what I found in the beta, is that I took my setup in there that I had, and I even, you know, increased my character's levels so that I could use the RM set, the one that you were talking about. And oh my god, that's another huge step up, and it takes another bigger step up if you're willing to use blood runes and the wave spells.
Yeah. And speaking of blood, right? This doesn't affect ancient magics. And you could say, yeah, but ancient magics are already better than elemental spells, and granted, they are slightly.
And they have their own special thing, right?
Because when I look at, like, so we looked at Earth Blast earlier, right, against Iron Dragons. I was like, let me compare that to the same spell in the ancient spell book that comes at the same level, 51, close enough, right? What was it, like, Shadow Rush, I think. It's ever so slightly faster than the Earth Blast. You get the side effect, right? But that will not change because those are not elemental. So those won't get the elemental weaknesses.
Yeah.
I understand that we want to make the elemental spells better, but they are right now leagues and miles ahead. I mean, sure, it only applies to a subset of monsters, but that spreadsheet is pretty darn lengthy. All dragons, right? Fire giants. Ghosts. I don't know. Like, if you look at the whole image, it covers a not small number of monsters that people fight day to day.
Yeah.
For all of them, I can basically throw my toxic blowpipe or my abyssal dagger or hell, even my fang into the river Lum because I don't need them anymore.
That's a good way of putting it. That's if you're looking at dragons, though. I also looked at aviancies. And it's a little bit interesting there because you get three different pictures on what I chose, the level 92 aviancy. If you go with magic to aviancies, of course, wind magic, you're going to have a 97% chance to hit if you take like an RM setup there. If you bring bolts, this is going to give you your highest max hit of 21 with 82% accuracy. But if you take your darts, your blowpipe, to those aviancies, this is going to give you your highest DPS. So it's very different from the Metal Dragons, and you got three different pictures there for it. And for what it's worth, you're looking about a total discrepancy in terms of average time to kill at an aviancy of less than 10 seconds between the three different styles, between wind magic, bolt, and dart with blowpipe. So even for aviancies, it's not the best, but it's way better than it was.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, I'm not against making it easier to kill certain things, but oh my, like, it feels like you can't just cut the time to kill iconic monsters such as Iron Dragons and Hulf and not call that out as like a huge change, right?
Well, you know what I find interesting about that, and this will go into what I've been doing later in the show. I got a Iron Dragon Slayer task earlier in the week, and I was like, oh my god, this is going to be a huge slog because of my current stats. And I think if you look at the other Project Rebalance stuff on the skilling side that we talked about with Slayer, and you see what they were doing in terms of Slayer task numbers on that specifically with the Metallic Dragons, and probably what came in from the survey on that, maybe there was just a push in that survey or some push somewhere saying, hey, make dragons easier to kill. It's 2024.
Yeah, but then...
Because they're the ones who are impacted the most on this sheet, right?
Yeah, but at the same time, if, you know, if Iron... dragons need to become easier to kill, it should not exclusively rely on magic making it easier to kill.
Yeah. Right?
Because I think it is fine if you don't get the best kill times if you don't use the optimal combat method against a certain monster.
Right.
I think it's fine if there's a difference. But I can still go in and kill all the Moons of Peril with my whip because it's still better than, you know, my shitty two-handed, which doesn't allow me to do my Dragon Defender Guffix spear, right? Like,
sure.
Magic, like, doesn't have that problem anymore because it is so leagues and miles ahead, right? If you choose to go in there with a stab weapon, you're stabbing yourself. Right?
Yeah.
In the foot.
Like, I mean, in my case with the metal dragon, sure, you're going to kill it faster with stab, but it's more than two times as fast with magic. And that really sums up the entire thing.
It should not be that big of a difference.
Right.
If Iron Dragons need to be faster to be killed, by all means, add this weakness. But then also reduce the stab bonus, not by a mere 20, but by a solid amount that actually makes that worthwhile as well.
Yeah, they reduced it by 30, but yes. But same general kind of thing on that. And in general, I think the conclusion here is that this is boosting magic a ton, maybe more than it needs to be boosted. And, you know, do you still feel that this is an overly complex solution?
I don't think the elemental weakness itself is overly complex. It's complex for sure. But in a sense, the system is set up in such a way that, you know, I pick spell of that color and it will do the most damage and I don't need to care about why. Holds pretty well, right?
Like, yeah.
That's the same, right? Oh, this monster is weak to stab. I don't know by how much or how much it's going to help me, but if I use stab, the game won't lie to me, right? Like, the game will make sure that my assumption holds without knowing the underlying
combat
mechanics.
You're doing good work and you just, you know, go the way the game tells you to go is basically what you're saying.
I think the max hit solution with the different tiers of magic is dumb and overly complicated. They should just group all of the elements of the same tier together and lock them at the same level and have max hit increases as separate entries in the skill guide. Done. That simplifies things a lot. It's just so weird that it's like, you know, Water Strike has a max hit of, I don't know, what is it, like 5? Unless you have unlocked Fire Strike, in which case it's 9. Like, that to me sounds so weird. Why would that impact each other? That upsets me. But not as much as the fact that this seems to blow magic way out of proportion, because it's not like magic needed the buff to begin with. Maybe elemental magic in the standard spellbook needed a little bit of a buff. Yes, because you don't have Ice Barrage there.
Yeah.
But to be honest, the same can be said for half the spells in the ancient book, because you really only use ice or blood, I feel.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. I feel like that's a generally consistent thing.
So, the only way to fix this in the future is to either make everything more powerful, and then we look at power creep,
mm-hmm.
or we tune this back down, which mm-hmm. is never going to happen.
And if you, it's far easier to not introduce something that's too overtuned than to tune things down when it makes people feel
good. I don't
know
if this gets pulled, but in the current forum, I would vote a hard no on this.
Yeah, I can see that. And, I mean, you're looking at that from a game designer hat, but, oh my god. I love being able to hit more. And I think that's the way the majority of the people are going to look at it. For better or for worse. I think that's what it comes down to. And that gets back to the discussion between Kieran and Aiza that they were having in terms of the players' expectations on this and just watching their body language. It was about making the players feel better.
I don't know if you're right. I feel that there's enough conservative forces in the old school community that thinks that everything that hits harder than what's currently in the game is power creep and evil. I'm surprised there's not more protest against these changes.
That's certainly a thing. That's certainly a thing. And for folks wondering what that pause was about, there's this look we would normally give each other, and I was doing that despite the fact we had no video on. But I just figured I'd say what was happening there. But in any case, if you think you like the way this sounds, if you think you don't like the way this sounds, head on over to the beta. Go kill some of your favorite NPCs and see what you think on that. And then report back to either us or Jagex on this, because it's an interesting experience, I will say for sure. I was expecting to have a harder time of getting things hooked up to go in the beta, but it was actually relatively straightforward. So should we talk about some wilderness things? I feel like we've taken the mystical sticks a little bit too far this week.
Sure.
Can I interest you in some undead pirates?
No.
Fighting each other there. No.
No.
And that was my initial thing with this. Is there anything in this wilderness update that's going to get people to PvP who haven't PvP'd before? And I think the answer to that is no.
No, maybe not. It might bring people back, right? That have previously PvP'd, now that there's more reason to go in the wilderness.
Yeah.
I think the wilderness is an interesting space. I think it does not get enough credit for what it does and what it is. I find it terrifying to go there every single time. I am not looking forward to going there on my hardcore Iron Man. Yeah, I will have to eventually. Majorina shop has some runes that other shops do not have. So, but yeah, no, it's no, but I still think it's good content. Like, I don't find there to be anything in the changes and additions that I dislike. Not great. Like, I don't really like the blip blocking scroll, but fair enough.
It's the meta that has emerged and, you know, been at this point. They're saying, hey, let's lean into this because it's the meta that players have been using for years in terms of movement and whatnot. Yeah. So, I mean, it's understandable. And I think anytime Jagex does these kind of NPC versus NPC battles, like the pirates versus the Chaos Druids, it's always interesting to see about that. Just fair warning, if you walk up to these creatures, they will tell you block you.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a fun experience in myself. I was, you know, observing from the edges, and I just made sure not to go too far deep in because I didn't have much on it, but I didn't want to, you know, necessarily draw aggro, but it was certainly something, interesting to see enough of. And I agree with you that there's nothing in these wilderness changes that, I absolutely dislike or feel that shouldn't be in the game. I will say that I'm happy the agility course changes came in. Because the thing that I see with this is that this now adds another option for me when I go train agility after I get my graceful outfit. Because people don't know this, but I like gambling. And I see this as a way of gambling that's strictly controlled and enforced by Jagex. You give your 150,000 GP deposit, and you just keep doing agility laps until you either die or decide to cash out. And if you manage to do 61 plus laps, they say you'll be averaging 40K loot per lap. And that sounds somewhat appealing to me, believe it or not. So I'm looking forward to doing some agility there once I get back to doing that. Am I able to entice you into the wilderness for any agility?
No, I think like one of the big downsides, and I understand why they made this decision, but like one of the annoying things to me is that you know, if you log out, you reset, which to me feels very punishing on the kind of player who just wants to, you know, step away from the screen.
Sure. Sure. Bit
and take a break, right? I don't want to sit there for hours at an end, glued to my screen, not being able to take my eyes off it for a PKer. I understand, right? Like, I understand that logging out, if you do it
logging
fast
out
enough,
in the wilderness is a way of, you know, getting away,
you know,
from
avoiding, exactly. And yeah. I understand that, but to me, it feels like it punishes those who actually do the healthy thing and step away from their computer at least once per hour.
Right.
To stretch and to give their eyes some rest.
Yeah, I can see that. And, you know, I see it mainly as a way of anti going against making it so that people can't, you know, just quick log to evade the PKers.
I understand the design choice, but I don't like it.
Okay, so you won't be going to the wilderness to do agility then with me?
No, I think at this point I'm going to wait for the rebalance changes to come in, which should hopefully be late May. Based on what they said on the stream, and then I will just hang out in Poly until we finish Song of the Elf, at which point...
At which point you're going to get 99 agility.
No, at which point I will stay at Prif for a considerable time.
Fair enough. Fair enough. Also this week, Jagex has asked for player suggestions in terms of rewards for Varlamor Parts 2 and 3, and specifically a question if people want more quests like the Riveting Tail one and just quests in general. They say you can post on the Discord or on the subreddit if you have ideas for your rewards, either from the group boss or the Herblore activity. And to make it known whether you want more quests. And I think we both will say more quests. I feel like
honestly, if Valamore Part 2 was just 6 of those quests, I'd be okay with that.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you have any reward ideas?
Do I have any reward ideas? For what? For Herblore specifically?
Herblore, the group boss.
Yeah, hard to say. I mean, we're still missing 2 elemental tomes, so it might be interesting, you know, especially if it's in the mountains up high, do something interesting with like wind and have like the air tome of air being dropped there. That could be interesting. Or if it's an underground boss, the tome of earth, you know, you can make that either work. Pretty boring suggestion, but I think they need to go in everywhere.
Yeah. Yeah.
Somewhere. Though that being said, that was going to be... Right now, the 2 tomes both come from group bosses, so maybe thematically they should stay with group bosses.
Well, that's what this is.
It's skilling bosses. Sorry.
Oh, skilling bosses. Fair enough, fair enough.
Yes, it's late. Yeah. For Herblore specifically, I don't...
I said potion flasks.
Yeah, I don't know if that's really necessary. The thing is, that's actually more power creep than you'd expect.
I know.
I would say.
I know. I like power creep.
Yeah, I don't. I don't. Yeah, I don't know. I think, I mean, there's always room for more potions, I feel. I mean, super magic and super ranging potions would be another nice bit of power creep, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. It's really hard to say, really, what I would want. Don't think... Like, I always thought Herblore is a pretty solid skill all the way through.
Oh yeah, and it's got its uses, and it everything lines up, and it's good in that regard. So
yeah, exactly. You know, I think like one of the things that might be interesting is something like a flask, even a bigger flask, but you can't use it for combat potions.
Ooh, that would be interesting. Just have
like a stamina potion dispenser or something like that. Right? Like people might find that interesting.
Yeah, I think I know why we want that, but that's a good option. I think that's a good option.
It's
make
hard,
it something
no, I don't know.
A little bit
I mean,
not
even
too
if it's just. Even as, like, because honestly, yeah, I mean, Torso is pretty high level, but, you know, not super high level. So maybe even just, like, a whole new herb could be interesting there as well. Or just a completely new activity.
Yeah. Because and that's
herb was one of the few skills you can't really train in any other way.
Right, and that's what this is going to be. It's going to be a high-level skilling activity for 70 plus, although lower levels may still be able to join in on the fun. So,
honestly, a way to automatically make unfinished potions, that would be amazing.
Alright, there we go.
That might be the Herb Lord skill cape effect already. Is that the case? Can easily find out.
It's also not going to be a high intensity training method.
Oh, you can use grimy herbs to create unfinished potions. Okay. That's interesting.
Neat.
And you can make unfinished potions for 200 coins each.
How does that work?
After the Hard Desert Diary.
Oh, okay, that makes
sense. In Nada. So, yeah, okay, fair enough. So you can do some of this already. Yeah, I don't know. It's hard to say. I don't have any great ideas.
Okay, fair enough. Well, I do want to talk about something that I experienced this week, and maybe why I'm so I'm lusting for power creep this week with those magic changes. Is that I wanted to do some Slayer training this week in terms of what
did you die again, Shane?
No, I didn't die. It's just banging my head against the Slayer wall to the point where. I've talked about before on the show, I absolutely despise task sets and achievement diaries, right? To the point where I won't do them unless I have, you know, like 3 or 4 tasks left to do and I can just knock it out in 15 minutes. I prefer to just do them organically because it's just something that puts me off from doing that. But this week I sat down and I did the Varrock easy and medium and the Ardoin easy and medium ones. Because that 20,000 XP lamp that I got from both those combined,
mm-hmm.
was more entertaining to me than doing Slayer. So I was on the lamp hunt for Slayer XP this week.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. But hey, I mean, I came out ahead in the end. I got the teleport to the Grand Exchange and Varrock Armor 2. I got the Ardoin Cape number 2, so I now have that direct teleport to that farming patch there 3 times a day. So I mean, it's a net win. Across the board, I think, in that regard. And in my continuing quest to try and find more, get it? Continuing quest to try and find more Slayer XP. I did the Ghostly Robes mini quest. Have you done this yet?
Yes.
Okay. I absolutely love doing this again. And I think that...
I did not like being in the wilderness.
Yeah, that's true. I did have the wilderness phases for that. The place where the NPCs attack you is annoying. But I just loved how all these things are being peppered in about, you know, the Zamorak betrayal of Zaros, and then you finally get to the end of it, that last stage in the Slayer Tower, at least that's where mine was, and he utters the guy's name, Zaros. And I think it's just so fitting that this comes after Desert Treasure. And it really spells out what Desert Treasure was working around on the edges, on the periphery, by just fleshing out that lore and kind of saying what exactly was happening with Zaros. And going back on this, you know, realizing how old the mini quest Curse of the Empty Lord is, and just the fact it's still able to give me that rush, even though this came out in 2005, it just made me feel so good doing this. And it's just a reminder of the lore that's in the game and can really reignite the inner Zoros hipster again.
Mm-hmm.
So I had a lot of fun with that and would highly recommend that to anybody who has not done that yet or has it sitting on the edges. And, you know, I really have to wonder how the reception was on launch, because it came out 3 months after Desert Treasure.
I did it only for the kudos.
Okay, that's fair. That's fair. I did go collect my kudos with that too. So, but aside from that, I also continued on what I said I was going to be doing in terms of working on crafting, how I wanted to work on crafting with battle staves and high elk. That, as expected, the high elking side of it, really annoying. And I was going to say this week, if inside Varlamor there was an activity for or a reward for, you know, a magic space or whatever, this is again showing my lust for power creep. An auto elker that I have to pay to use.
Why would you want that? You want the XP.
I do want the XP. But it's so tedious, and I don't know what I would do instead, if I'm being honest. So.
Yeah, I don't mind alking. I just go, I thought you liked doing, like, the same things for like a million hours at once.
Not when I have to click every 2 seconds.
Use mouse keys.
Ooh, I don't necessarily know if we have such a thing on macOS.
Well, that's your problem now, isn't it? That's a personal choice you made.
What about you? What have you been doing this week?
Really not much. Speaking of mini quests, I did finish the Night Waves after getting my Guffins.
Easy?
Easy enough.
Okay.
They hit like a truck, especially the later ones. But so you have to use some food and some
prayer potions?
Restore potions, because they drain your stats. But other than that, it was, yeah. I used half my inventory worth of supplies, so overall it was pretty straightforward to do. So now I have access to Piety, which is great, of course. Makes a huge difference.
Oh my god, yeah. It's a huge step.
It's a huge step forward. I saw that Augury and Rigor were within the realm of affordability, so I probably want to get 80 Prayer and unlock those.
I would have thought they would have been more expensive.
Yeah, same, honestly, but they're not that bad. And honestly, 80 Prayer, I mean, that's the most expensive part
fair.
Of this.
The reason
I want to go to 80 instead of 77 is it bumps me up another Prayer Restore bracket, and, you know, that, given the price of Prayer Potions in the game right now, it adds up. Right, every dose of prayer I don't need to use, it adds up. So 80 prayer is on my list of goals. But no, I did not have time this week. I did go back to the Moons of Peril, got like 8 or 9 or 10 kills, and still no drop. And then they told us this week that actually the drop rate of 1 in 14 was wrong, and it's actually like 18 in 56. I'm like, okay, great. It's actually not as great as I wanted it to be, but,
which you know, it did seem a little bit 1 in 14 seemed a little bit generous.
Honestly, I don't mind the Blood Moon as much anymore. It's still a little bit annoying when it heals much, but I can mostly out DPS it now, and I have better defense, so I don't hate it as much anymore. I still think the Mirage phase, or the Clone phase, however you want to call it, of the Eclipse Shadow, is the best mechanic of all of them. And I never thought I would say it, but I kind of like the flinching you do during the Jaguar phase. It's kind of nice if you get that right. It's not a lot of healing, but
we'll see.
Actually, it's how people have been calling it free healing, but actually, it damages you 15, and if you hit it often enough, all you do is you get that back. So it's not free healing, not really.
No, it's just basically a trade.
I hate the blue moon with a passion, especially the hurricane face. It's so random and annoying. But yeah, I bought myself a zombie axe because I really need to start using the right styles. I tried using a Guffin spear for one of the runs. That was a mistake. The dragon defender does too much for me, so I needed a one-handed weapon that can do crush. I don't know if it can do stab, actually.
It can do all three. Check. It can do all three.
Okay, yeah, so the zombie axe is what I'm going to be using.
Or sorry, I thought you were still talking about Guthan's spear. Guthan's spear can do all three. I don't know about your
zombie
axe.
Yeah, that's why I thought I was doing it, but the effect, the set effect doesn't trigger on the moon, so it's really useless. And the dragon defender is a massive damage boost.
You just have slash and crush on your axe.
Yeah, which means I need to bring like an abyssal dagger as well, but that's fine. I will get all of those free and then switch weapons. Oh yeah, the reason I got the zombie axe is because the abyssal bludgeon is two-handed and I wanted to keep using my my dragon defender. So
yeah, defenders are wonderful. We should also do a quest update. We haven't done a quest update of where we've been recently. I think the last one we talked about was probably Legends Quest.
Oh boy, yeah, that's been a while ago then.
But
yeah,
we've also subsequently done a Desert Treasure, King's Ransom, Hand in the Sand. And I think there might be another one that I'm forgetting on the list too. I'd have to go back and just screenshot.
We did the Valimor quests, of course.
Well, yeah, and I mean, we talked about those on the show. And
yeah,
Ribboning Tale of the Lilypad Labor Dispute.
Yeah, no, I think that was it. Was it?
I think that's it too. When you look at this and when you look at where we've been this week, I feel like in general, we've illustrated probably where a portion of the player base is at when it comes to things like Project Rebalance and Defense and maybe even their own general journeys with the Wilderness this week. So please do let us know if you agree with our reasoning on Defense and the magic side of it in particular, because you know, we see the game in a specific way. Sirion sees the game in an entirely different way. That's kind of the same way I does, but he has these glasses on where he sees an entirely different thing than most people out there. And it's a good thing, but sharing that is something we like doing on the podcast. Anything else before we go here?
No, no, I hope in the upcoming week to, you know, do a little bit more PVM and get back into the game a little bit more. But for now, yeah, I'm going to have to jump back. Oh, I didn't talk about that, actually. We hinted at the previous show. I'm working on a game jam this weekend. 72 hours to make a game. And if you're an RS3 player, you will love to know that the theme is summoning, so... Yeah, we're going a different direction than RS3 did, don't worry.
Which I think is good, because a clone of Herblore in terms of pouch making probably wasn't the most engaging thing that they could have done, but it's what they had at the time.
No, we took more inspiration from necromancy than summoning. I will leave it at that.
Perfect, perfect. Well, we'll be back next week for another episode of the Old School RuneScape Update. Thank you for joining us, everybody. And if you want to subscribe, that's the best way to get the podcast each and every week. Head on over to update.show/OS. Run all the podcast listeners out there, Apple, Spotify, Pocket Casts, and more. And of course, on YouTube as well, youtube.com/@OSRSUpdate. And with that being said, we'll see you guys next week for another episode of the Old School RuneScape Update. Take care, everyone. See you then.
Bye-bye.